I invite you to take your Bibles, please, and if you will, turn to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter division, and we'll read just one verse. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Today we are living in a culture that has two competing world views. Two primary competing world views. One of them centers around God, and one of them centers around secular humanism or socialism, atheism. They all go together. They're all part and parcel of the same broad package. And 2 Corinthians 3:17 is just a very explicit, succinct principle that God gives us. And he says, now the Lord is that, capital S, Spirit. And watch these words. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Say it with me, Clays. Liberty. I like liberty, don't you? One of the portions of one of the songs that was sung this morning had to do with the fact that if we don't live righteously as Christians and we don't do what's right, then we're going to lose our liberty. And that is true. That's a principle of the Word of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, where God is honored, where the Spirit of God is honored, there is liberty. And when we cease to do that, we will lose our liberty. In fact, we're already losing some of them. This nation was founded as one nation under God. Amen? Amen. One nation under God. Now, the secularists today want to change that. The secularists, the humanists, those who have taught and assumed the philosophy that we are high animals and we have no purpose here and we're just some kind of bit of protoplasm floating around with no reason for life. We just happen to be some of the lucky ones, and instead of being a skunk, we became human beings or something like that. And you laugh, but that's the foolishness of some of the thinking of the other side. That we are higher animals, and that's the way it is. And they want to remove any reference, any vestiges that we have to God and to righteousness in our Christianity and the history of this nation. They want to pull out and extract any references in the history of America, any reference to God, any references to the Bible in the history and founding of America, and they certainly want to pull out and extract any references to the Lord Jesus Christ that came in the founding of America, or to the Lord in any capacity. They just want to remove all of that. I might add, sad to say, in my opinion as I view it, they are making a lot more headway than we as Christians are today. And there's a reason for that. Because some of them are more dedicated and consecrated to their false belief than we are to the truth and our way of living and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they've been very effective. Do you know that pastors and Christians have been arrested in America in the last decade simply for their Christian beliefs? And some of you are thinking right now, preacher, you just made that up. You're just trying to stir us up emotionally. You just made that up. No, it's a fact of record. You can find it in the records. You can certainly find it through these organizations like the Christian Law Association, who has had to defend these people. And churches like ours who have to support as a missions project in the modern day, a Christian Law Association, so that they can come and help us out when the secular humanists arrest preachers and Christians simply for doing what's right. And it has happened, and it is happening, and it does happen today. There are preachers being sued for what they preach. There are Christians in the workplace that are told you cannot bring your Bible or anything about faith or mention faith, even in your private area of your workplace. You cannot do that. It would be a contradiction or against the law, they are told, because of that. And so our religious freedoms are being threatened in America. And I hate to strike a negative note, but we need to be honest about what's really happening, and we need to become more patriotic, and we need to get upset, and we need to be moved emotionally by this old flag, the stars and the stripes, and understand that we have a battle to fight in these days. We cannot afford to idly sit by and be smug as a bug in a rug and think, well, I'm doing okay, I've got all I need, and everything's all right. What about the next generation? What about next year? What's going to happen? This nation needs to be right with God and needs to come home to God. We've gotten away from God. Religious freedoms are being threatened. And by the way, that was the main reason originally for the starting of America, and the main thrust behind the whole thing was religious freedom. That we would be free from any kind of despot or any kind of hierarchy, any kind of government that would tell us how we could worship. The government is of the people, for the people, and by the people, and the politicians and government's not supposed to tell us how to worship. We're supposed to tell them what they're supposed to do for us. We're a republic. We're set up in that way. And that was part of it. And part of the main thrust was religious freedom. And I can tell you today that we've heard about discrimination. And it is true that there have been some very offensive times in the history of our country, because no country is perfect, even a Christian-founded nation, that there's been wrongful discrimination. But I'm telling you, you talk about discrimination. We're seeing a reverse discrimination today in our country like we've never seen before. Amen. A great discrimination. Discrimination in education. Yep. Discrimination in that. Students are told that you cannot talk about Jesus. And you say, well, in my school we can do that. You're an exception to the general rule. And you're living in the Bible Belt. Go up north, where I pastored for a while, and you'll find out it's a little different up there. Go to New England, you'll find out it's a whole lot different. Go to California, and you'll find out they're just a bunch of nuts out there. But at any rate, if you're a Californian, I'm sorry. The land of fruits and nuts, something like that. Apple is a fruit. Orange is a fruit. Students are told... Don't egg me on, Brother Rigsby. Students are told that you can't talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. A teacher who's teaching world culture brought in recently Muslims to teach the students to explain everything they wanted to explain about the Muslim faith. Christians wanted to do the same thing. She wouldn't allow them to do it. No, you can't do that. What in God's name has happened to us in this country where we would allow Muslims to come in and teach our children about the Muslim faith, and we do not have equal time to teach them about the Christian faith? I'm telling you, something's out of kilter when that happens. Something's wrong. And we need to recognize there's discrimination. A student is told you cannot put up the Ten Commandments on your locker, even on the inside, when you open it where it can be seen. Now, you can put up, in some cases, because of the freedom of speech, so-called, pornography and a pin-up of a penthouse girl, and that's okay, but don't put up the Ten Commandments. It's going to ruin the students. It's going to really warp their brain. Well, I tell you, I liked it better when they had respect. I liked it better when they said, no ma'am, yes ma'am, no sir, yes sir. I liked it better when they didn't smart off and talk back to authority. Amen. I had a red-headed Irishman who was a principal. Brother, you didn't smart off to him. But he had authority. They've stripped that away from so many of them now. And that's why we have all of the problems we're having, some of the games and all of that. But they cannot read their Bible in some cases during an independent reading time. They can bring in all other kinds of literature, but no Christian magazines, no books about the Constitution that referred to Christianity and those values. In some cases, this is being denied. You can read other things, but not that. Then there's discrimination in the workplace. The United States government employees, on occasion, have been reprimanded for having some kind of religious relics up, for instance, during Easter, in their own confinement, in their own little area, that would represent their faith that they believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have everything else up, but they say you cannot have any religious symbols that have anything to do with Easter. One of the larger bottling companies told their employees, you cannot bring a Bible anywhere in our facilities and use it even at your lunchtime or your break time. You cannot do that. We will not let you do that. So there's discrimination in the workplace. There's discrimination also in the public square, in the general public square. Places that were used and could be used as a public forum in years past, where you could, your speech was protected, now you cannot do it. They will not let you do it. Public places where people used to years ago could go and stand on the street corner and preach if they wanted to. What's wrong with that? Every other nut in the world goes out there and does whatever they want to do, dresses any way they want to do. The day's going to come when they'll walk down Main Street of Fort Worth with nothing on but tattoos. By the way, I've seen that in the Philippines, in one of the most demonic infested areas that I ever was in my whole life. If that tells you anything. I don't want to make you feel comfortable if you've got a tattoo. Well, that's not true. I do want to make you feel uncomfortable. But I'm just saying, it's all symbolic of a lot of things. We see many of these things taking place. But in the public square, now, if you pass out tracts, sometimes they will arrest you. And I know that sometimes it's a misunderstanding on the part of law enforcement officers. Sometimes they may not understand the true rules. And sometimes they have been told that that's what they have to do. But isn't it a sad thing that we come to the place in America where a communist could probably pass out their literature, but a Christian can't take a tract out and hand it out to somebody that's walking by? And I don't believe you ought to force yourself on anybody. And I don't believe you ought to be obstinate and you ought to be mean and cruel. But what's wrong in saying, here, may I give you a tract? And them saying, thank you. What's wrong with that freedom? That's a freedom we ought to have in America. Other people have those other kinds of freedoms to do that. Discrimination in the public place. They've outlawed in most of our public parks any kind of symbolism about Christianity, religious displays. Now, friends, this nation was founded as a Christian nation. And we ought to have the right to do that. Other people have rights, that's true. And that's one of the great strengths of our country that has almost become a weakness to our country. But when you eliminate that, I think you've gone way too far. And we see that in libraries. I remember going to our public library in Connersville, Indiana, and I said, I want to have a meeting down here, and it has to do with church stuff, and I want to meet with a group of people and do some studying down here, some people who are interested in doing that. In the meeting room that was a public library and was supposed to be available to all citizens who helped put it there with their tax money and pay for it. And they said, no, I'm sorry, you cannot meet here, Reverend. Public library. That just isn't right. There's discrimination in zoning today. I'm just saying to you, not to be hyper-negative, but I'm just showing you where we are and what has happened in our country and the fact that we need to recognize and realize what's going on out there. We need to know that there's discrimination against zoning. In the 1900s, zoning became popular in the early 1900s. And I think there's some merit to some of the zoning and so on and so forth. But back in those days, churches were rarely affected by zoning. And they could go into, the idea was this, if you go into a community, a subdivision somewhere, and start a church. I had a friend, Dr. John White, who was a contractor, who was also called to preach. He would go in, build a subdivision, build a church building, turn it over, get it started, turn it over to a young man right in the subdivision. That's a pretty good deal. And that was no problem, but it got to where they don't want to do that. I'm going to tell you why City Hall doesn't want to do that. It's because, for the most part, churches are non-taxable, and they can't get the tax from us, and therefore, they don't want to do that. They want, even in industrialized areas, they don't want to put a church building because they're non-taxable and it doesn't generate income for the bureaucrats to blow. Well, not all of them do, but some of them do. Amen? You know it's true. But they do this kind of thing. And it used to be assumed that you put a church building in a residential area, it was good for that area. But other non-religious assemblies, it's okay. But to have a Bible, home Bible study in some places, they won't even let you do that. Can't even have a home Bible study in some places. And so you have many of these different things that are going on. There are other areas where there's discrimination. I have to hurry in order to cover this, but there was, you have a lot of these places, you have homeowners, and they have all of these, you've seen it on the news where they say you can't fly the flag and so on and so forth. But in one homeowner situation, they said you cannot meet in the community meeting room for a Bible study. You can't do it. We had an African-American gentleman who visited our church some when he was unable to go to another church, and he came here and he lived in an area near here. And I was talking to him, and I visited him. He said, "Reverend, I used to have a Bible study here in this building." But he said when the government took it over, when the government was really behind the thing, he said, "You know what? I couldn't keep it. I couldn't continue to do it." They stopped this African-American pastor, preacher, from having a Bible study because it was a government building, and they said, "You can't have a Bible study." And everybody else could do anything else they wanted to, but they couldn't do it. And so it was in a homeowner's situation where they couldn't meet. A lady could not meet in a community meeting room to have a Bible study. We're losing some of those freedoms. And many times in our history books now, they're rewriting all of that, and they're taking out everything that has to do with Christianity, the founding of America, and all of those things. So there are two competing philosophies today. Two world views that are out there. One of them is we have a godly heritage that is a rich heritage that God has given us, and God is the one that made America great. And I submit to you today, America is great because America is good and godly, and that's the only reason we've been able to survive and have the success we've had for these 200 plus years, because I believe God raised America up. God raised us up to take care of the Jewish nation. Don't ever think he didn't. The Jews, the Jewish people, right now are considering a preemptive strike on Iran. Because Iran and Ahmadinejad, they absolutely have the capacity, or real near the capacity right now, with nuclear weapons, with Russia and Putin, who dresses up different from Castro, but the same philosophy, is helping them out and giving them the ingenuity, the know-how and all of that of their people, and they're ready to wipe the Jewish nation off of the map. And then they'd want to come after America because we're pro-Jewish. And they're thinking about going in there and blowing out their nuclear plants where they're putting together their nuclear power, and I wouldn't blame them. If somebody told me as soon as I get this gun loaded, I'm going to blow your head off, I believe I'd take my gun out first and shoot. I mean, if they're going to say that. But I'm saying that God raised up America to help the Jews. And may I say, if we get someone in office who is anti-Semitic and anti-Jewish, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And God, whether we like it or not, the Jewish people are God's chosen people. He has a covenant with them. One of these days they're going to come back to God. They're going to believe. All Israel is going to be saved. All will believe. They'll come back to belief in God. It's going to happen. The Bible says it's going to happen. They're still God's chosen people. We had better be on their side. And that means we ought to be responsible citizens to vote for the right person. And that means that if you don't vote, you have voted for the wrong person. To decide not to vote is to decide to vote for the wrong person. Vote for the right person. I know that we sort of have a bitter taste for politicians in our mouth today. And rightfully so. We don't have many statesmen left. We have a lot of politicians that are after the pork barrel and the money. We need some godly statesmen who are being there. We ought to do all we can. You say, well, we can't get them all in. Well, let's just do the best we can. That'd be the right thing to do. Right is right. It's just right. But we have the rich. We have those that are that realize we have a rich, godly heritage that made America great. And then we have the secular humanist. We have the people who are agnostic and atheistic, and they do not want to admit there's a God. And I understand that not everybody that helped found America was here for that reason or that were really dedicated Christians. You had some businessmen. You had some explorers. You had some traders that came. But you also had godly people who came for the right reason, and they were the leaders of the founding of the United States of America. Go to the Washington Monument and you'll see it there. Go to the Lincoln Memorial and you'll see it there. Most of us don't know those things, and they're certainly not teaching it in most secular scenarios in our schools and universities today. We have revisionists who are trying to erase the first people that found the colonies and all of those things. They were God-fearing people. Christopher Columbus. The reason he went on his exploration was because he felt God led him to do it. That God was in the thing, and I believe God was in it. The Pilgrims, when they wrote the Mayflower Compact. Go back and read the archived documents that we have on record and what was said and how many times God was referred to, and read statements like this that clearly stated that they came to glorify God and advance the Christian faith. It's there in the Mayflower Compact. In the education, the settlers and the founders, the education of America in its early years and for many, many years, the education in America was uniquely Bible-based and Christian. And if you think that's wrong, you're wrong. It ought to be Bible-based and Christian. We're not trying to force everybody to be a Christian, but this is a Christian nation, founded on Christian principles, founded on godliness, founded on the Word of God, and it ought to stay that way. And you might start a whole new country, but you cannot erase the history of this country unless you lie about it and say, we did not found it on the godly principles. We did found America on godly principles. The early universities, Harvard, William and Mary, Yale, Princeton, all of these, if you go back and study their history, were biblically based institutions in their origin. America was founded as a Christian nation, and I think it ought to still have that thrust because God blesses it. Now I ask you, when we kicked God out of the school in the early 60s and we quit having prayer in the schools, I'm going to ask you something. Has anything changed in America since then? Some of you are too young to see and too young to know, but you don't have that much history. Let me tell you, the divorce rate's up, gangs that are out there, drugs, alcohol, premarital sex, immorality, all kinds of problems that we have in our society today, friend. Used to, the worst things we had to worry about in school was spit wads and chewing gum. You think it's changed a little bit? Now they bring guns in, they bring knives in, they shoot them up, they do all of that. We have all these things. Why? Well, it's just our culture. Yeah, it is. Because we've gotten away from God. We've gotten away from the Bible. We've gotten away from Christian principles. And you say, well, what are we going to do? I don't know of anything we can do. Oh, yeah, there's something we can do. What if our founding forefathers, like George Washington and others, had just said, there's nothing we can do. It's bad, but there's nothing we can do. It's bad, but England has all that power. There's nothing we can do. We've just got to remain slaves to them. Thank God we had some statesmen, we had some people, and a lot of them, by the way, were preachers. And they were involved in government. It was never intended by the writers of our Constitution and the forefathers that we as Christians stay out of government. It was only intended that the government did not have one religion that they backed up and forced everybody, like the Church of England, to have that religion. That's not to say that it's wrong to have the Christian emphasis, but to force it upon people. And they did not have that. But they had people who were involved, who were godly, dedicated Christians. And they argue all of these arguments about Thomas Jefferson and so on and so forth, and about him being a theist and all of those arguments. But you cannot read the documents and the writings and the things that happened in his life and others without being convinced that the early forefounders of our country based it on the Word of God. And they did not give up when it would have been easier to give up. They didn't give up. Folks, we can't give up. We must stand up. We must speak up. We must vote right. We must live right. Where's the powerful church that's supposed to be light and salt in a culture that is turning its back on God? And I know some of the prophets of doom say, well, don't you know prophecy and everything's going to get worse and worse and worse? Yes, it is, and finally Antichrist is going to step on the scene, but that I do not read anywhere that God says we cannot have a revival in a country and many people come to Christ and get back right with God. I don't know what will happen to America. It scares me to think about it. But we've got to continue. If we're going to go down for Christ's sake, let's go down with a fight. For Christ's sake, let's go down dying for what's right. Thank God for our soldiers and people who right now today are in harm's way because they believe in some principles. Sure, the government makes some mistakes, but the greatest mistake would be for us to just blink our eyes and walk away and say, there's no reason to fight those radicals anywhere. There is a reason. If we don't fight them over there, we'll fight them here, I'll guarantee you. I pray to God we never have another 9-1-1. By the way, it's been pretty good since we took a stand that we haven't had for quite a while. Amen? Credit to somebody. You figure it out. We've got to continue. What do we do as Christians? Well, the choir told us, America, come home. But more specifically, the Bible tells us Christians get right with God. You know where I'm going. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If the unsaved people, if the secular humanists, if the atheists come back to God, well, they've never been there. Here's what he says. If my people, that's us, folks, who are called by my name, are you a Christian today? If you are, say amen real loud. Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Humble ourselves. We don't want to do that. We're too happy doing what we're doing. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to seek the face of God like you would a treasure that you've lost. You've got to seek it. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Believers? Christians? Yes. Turn from our godless, compromising, worldly ways. The church has begun to look so much like the world that you can't tell the difference. God says, come ye out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We don't need to do that. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Only then. Then we'll hear from heaven. You want to hear from heaven? Do we care if we hear from heaven? Do we care if we hear from God? Young people, do you care if you hear from God? Do we care if we hear from God? Amen. He's right. We ought to care that we hear from God. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Here's God's promise. And will heal their land. Do you think God can heal America? You think God can turn us back? If we, God's people. And you say, well, what about all the rest of them? Oh, are they going to do it? God doesn't make you responsible for the rest of the Christians. God makes you, as a Christian, responsible for yourself. I am responsible for me. You're responsible for you. We're all responsible to God to do what's right. And then he will forgive their sin and heal their land. Here's a question. Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, one of the things that would help would be if people would get saved. If you're here without Christ, let me ask you. If you died, God forbid that it would happen today, but we don't know, do we? You don't know, I don't know. But suppose today was the day that you died. Can you sitting where you are, can you say right now, Brother Weaver, I'm saved, I'm born again, I know it, I'm on my way to heaven according to the Word of God. If you cannot say that, if you can say that, praise the Lord. If you cannot say that, friend, you need to be saved today. Don't wait. That'll help America. Christians winning people to Christ will help America. Christians doing like Paul, who said, I cried, I wept night and day. I told you about Jesus, how to be saved. Wherever I went, whatever I did, I always connected back to Jesus, telling people how to be saved. That'll help America. But friend, get saved today. If you're here and you don't know 100% for sure, for certain, that you're going to heaven, don't leave this building. Don't leave it without trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. You say, well, I'll wait a little while. I'll put it off a while. I'll think about what you said. Well, that's a pretty big gamble. Now's the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You have the time right now. Do it right now. Will you accept Jesus Christ? And then after you accept Jesus Christ, Christian, will we follow the Lord Jesus Christ? I said this morning that your walk talks and your talk talks, I said it in Sunday school, your walk talks and your talk talks, listen to me, but your walk talks more than your talk talks. What do I mean by that? It's what James said, it's what Paul said. If you say I'm a Christian, then be one. If you say I'm saved, then be one. Don't be a Christian in word, just in word. Talk, 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 talk. Talk about it, talk about it. No, be a Christian in your walk. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, be light, be salt. Make a difference in our culture. Make a difference in our world. Make a difference for the glory of God. And hopefully, maybe because we do that, we will see God heal our land and America turn back to God. And I know you're sitting there thinking, oh, it'll never happen. It can happen. Yes, We cannot give up. We as believers have to do right and live right. But our walk had better talk more than our talk talks. Or we're not going to have an impact on anybody. We need to do that. Be part of the solution. Amen? Be part of the solution. We owe it, adults, to our next generation to give them something better than we've handed them here lately. We need to give them something better than that. We've been so wrapped up in giving them material things, we've left out the spiritual things. We wanted them to have all the toys and all the things and all of the material things, and we've just saturated them with those things, left out the spiritual. No wonder we're reaping a lot of it. We need to get back to the right things, the right priorities, the truths of the Bible, all of the facets of life, whether it's law, whether it's business, whether it's politics, doesn't matter. Matthew 19:26 says, with God, all things are possible. Don't give up on America. I love this country. Don't you misunderstand me. But we must be honest about what's happening. And it's left up to you and me to do something about it. Get involved somewhere. Pay the price. The freedom we have today, I was out Friday night eating Fritos and drinking a Coke and watching fireworks. You know why? Because somebody died that I could have the freedom to see that. Lots of people. You say, that's just hype, preacher. That's just emotionalism. Oh, no, it isn't. It's the truth. It's true that people paid the price and died and suffered. They lost their fortunes. They lost their lives. They lost their health. They lost their reputations so you and I could be free. Why do we think we're better than they are? We're not. We need to take a stand as believers for the glory of God. Make up your mind to live for Jesus and make a difference in our culture. Step up, speak out, get involved, and do it in the right way, and God will bless us. Let's stand, please. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks more than your talk talks. Are you living for Jesus? Are you really sincere, for real, a genuine Christian who loves God? That will make the difference if we'll keep our hearts right with God. If we'll humble ourselves. We don't want to do that. We Christians, we have a hard time with that. But if we'll humble ourselves and seek God's face and pray, then God will do something for us in our own heart, in our families, and in our church, and that'll spread out in our community. And by God's grace throughout our country. Father, bless now the invitation. I would expect, dear God, that there are some people here who have never settled the issue of eternal life. Very patriotic people. But they've never been born again. Oh, God, may they sense your love. And may they remember, and may we all remember the price that was paid. Redemption's price. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. We can't achieve it. It's a gift given by grace and mercy by you, because you gave your son to be our substitute and to pay the price on the cross. And we know that the Bible teaches if we're willing to repent and turn from our lost lifestyle to Jesus, trust him as Savior, then we can be born again. I pray for those that are here without Christ, they'd be saved today. Thank you, God. Anybody, anytime, anywhere can come to Christ and be gloriously saved. May you speak to us that we might get concerned about our country, that we might become more patriotic. And God, help us to take a stand for righteousness. For righteousness exalteth the nation. And where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. In Jesus' name we pray.